Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Lindsay.
And I'll say what I want.
You will say whatever you want. Well, okay. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
Hi, Lindsay. I'm good. I had to write down what you said right before we went on air because I'm...
Well, like, to be honest, I almost forgot to wait for Mike to signal that we were live on the YouTube after we heard the record thing, because I was going to start the intro. And then I'm like, I look up and I'm like, oh, he doesn't have his finger up. And then Leah's saying all sorts of bad words.
I mean, the times declare bad words as the standard.
Right. They do.
So hey, I have a Halloween cup tonight.
Look, so I have cute. My Emerald City. Witchy.
Thinking
Tumblr.
About Emerald City, Wicked is almost like ready to stream.
I know.
So I'm super excited.
Yes.
But I also think my girl really would like to watch Moana 2, but they keep pushing back the date that they're going to stream. You can purchase for $25.95, but not watch it. So I think Wicked's going to be available before it.
Interesting.
But she also was like, you didn't want to go to the theater for that, but you're going to watch it. I'm like, yeah, we are.
Yeah. Then I can sing loudly in my living room and no one will know.
Well, I was grumpy because I didn't realize it was just the first act. And so like I boycotted seeing it in the theater.
Okay. I was like on the fence about going to see it in theater. And then when I saw, because it was 2 hours and 40 minutes, and I'm like, that's a lot of sitting time. And my attention span, like, I need like a child length movie. Like,
no, but there's a lot in that. Like, I think you'd be well engaged because I saw the stage show and it's long, but it is delightful.
I love the stage show. It's top tier.
It is amazing. One of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay,
back to the books.
Well, whatever. To everyone, have a great weekend, because I need to talk about mine.
Mine was good. It was uneventful, but good.
Lindsay, how was your weekend?
It was good. I took a mental health day on Friday, and we did baking. We spent like all day Friday. We went to Santa Fe. We spent most of the day out in my favorite canyon. We walked 5 miles through the canyon with my dog. It was amazing. It was so beautiful. And then we went hiking yesterday, and then my legs were so tired today. I was like, I have no activation energy to do anything. So I did basically nothing except grocery shopping today, which, like, why does that take 2 hours?
It's the worst.
See, it doesn't take me 2 hours, but Mike and I go to the Aldi, and then anything that can't be gotten at the Aldi, it goes to the Walmart shopping cart people, and they bring it to my door.
I've started doing that too because I'm that lazy.
It's less impulsive buys.
I get,
well, yeah, that too.
Stuff. Yeah, less impulsive buys. But like, I don't ever know where things are, and they move things all the time. And I'm like, I know this is where my Asian wraps were 2 weeks ago. Where are they now?
They completely redid our Walmart's like layout 1 week. Like, I had been there, and then no joke, like 2 weeks later, it was completely redone, and I could find nothing. So you know what I did? I walked out and went home.
And ordered from your phone?
And I ordered from my phone because I was like, I do not have the time to deal with this chaos. So I went to the Target, actually, and then I went home.
Our Kroger constantly seems to feel like they're in a remodel. And yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I want to talk about this weekend.
Okay.
Because What did I do this weekend? So, okay.
Well, Jenny has already mentioned it in the chat. So.
And we've talked about this before, you know, because of kids and life and whatever. I've never prioritized girls' weekends. Like, I've never really had a great group of girlfriends to go on girls' weekends with.
Right.
And so this weekend, Jenny and I, with my friend Melanie, we ventured down to Cincinnati for an overnight because there was a signing in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And Jenny, and I won't share Jenny's story because hopefully we'll talk about it on the podcast the next time Jenny's on.
I'm sure we'll be talking about it for years to come.
Jenny got to meet Penny Reed, and like the tears, the cry, the joy. It was amazing. I loved it. But so And the signing itself was fun. We had a really good time. We connected. I'm looking forward to some opportunities that are coming forward with like Brittany Cherry in the podcast. And I got to meet Lauren Blakely in person. She knew who I was. That was really weird and awkward for me. I also had
It's
like
weird
a
and awkward every time it happens, though. Like
right.
every signing that we've been at, there has been somebody who has recognized us from the podcast, and it's cool but strange at the
Also,
same
Brittany
time.
Cherry, thanks for listening to the podcast. Like, the fact that you're a fan is kind of cool, and I don't know, I feel weird now.
It's kind of bizarre, to
Right.
be honest.
So the signing was great. After the signing, we went and had dinner. Then we stopped at World Market and bought snacks and wine. And then we went back to
What
the.
is World Market? Is it just like a grocery store?
It's like Home Goods. And TJ Maxx had a baby and they sell wine
And candy
Oh.
from all over the world.
and candy from all over the world.
Hence the worlds.
Right, and coffee from all over the world. Wine. Did I
Don't think
mention
they
they sell
have one
wine?
in anywhere near me.
Did I mention they sell
Maybe
wine?
Cincinnati.
They
You
also have
did,
really good
yes.
shortbread cookies.
Yeah.
I mean, if
And
they sell wine, it definitely won't happen in PA because we don't sell wine in stores like that because I live in PA.
but yeah, we bought a bottle of wine and some snacks, and we went back to the hotel and talked books and hung out, watched trash TV. That was great. So this morning we get up and Melanie and I go downstairs because they had a continental breakfast, which for a hotel was delightful. They had waffles and eggs and sausage and gravy. It was great. But we go down and Melanie is in the process of writing a romantasy, and so she's an author, and she's having some conventional issues. And we were pulling readers during the signing when we're standing in line, because she
As
wants,
one does.
as one does, because she wants to do head hopping. And she's like, but Nora Roberts does it. And I very loudly am like, Nora Roberts is the exception. She is not the rule. I'm like, let's ask readers. So then we start asking readers. Well, we were at breakfast and we're sitting at this table and there's this couple like directly next to us. And her partner, he gets up and goes to get something off of the breakfast buffet. And I asked Melanie a question, and she pipes up, this other girl, and pipes up and says, as a romantasy reader, I have to agree with what I was saying, Becky was saying to Melanie. And Melanie's like, oh, and the girl comes over and we're chatting a little bit. And then she goes back and sits at her table when her partner comes back. This is what he does, you guys. And this move, he moves his chair because his back was to us and she couldn't see us because they were sitting across from each other. He moves his chair to the side of the table so that she can still talk to us and hear what we're talking about. Total book boyfriend move, like right there, right?
That is adorable and I
Isn't
love
that
it.
like, so shout out to Natalie if she's listening. You have a keeper. Like, dude, what? He also drove her 10 hours to go to this signing because she wanted to meet Savar Miller.
I forgot she was
Book
there too. Yeah.
boyfriend.
Yeah,
I'm
total book
definitely.
boyfriend. It was adorable. She was the sweetest. It's just fun, you know. It's always a good reminder when we go to those. The romance community is amazing.
It really is, yeah.
There's so many amazing individuals in it. So yeah, I just wanted to share that story because I thought that is like total book boyfriendness.
Yeah, I'm a little bit jealous.
Right. She's, and then
Oh.
she told us, like, when we first started talking, she made him stop talking so she could overhear what we were saying. Which we've all done that, right? Like,
Oh
if
my
you hear
God, that
someone
is
talking
totally
about a
something that we
book,
would do.
but if you hear someone talking about a book or you see
You
someone like
stop all
reading,
conversation. Yeah.
yeah. Or if you see someone reading on a Kindle, you kind of want to be like, hey, what are you reading? And I do ask those questions. Jenny
I
doesn't.
do too.
Because I'm crazy like that.
I asked that question too.
So anyway, Natalie has a book boyfriend. Jenny got to meet Penny Reed. Penny Reed, if you saw the pictures I had in my story yesterday that I shared, if you zoom in on the top of Penny Reed's chest, the
Oh, I'm gonna
smocked
have to
part
do
of her
that.
dress was dicks, not hearts. to the point that I kept staring at Penny Rain's boobs trying to figure out what the shape
But you
was.
figured it out tonight, what it was.
No, I figured it out last night. I told Jenny last night
Oh,
about
did
it.
you?
So, anyway.
All right, I'm gonna do some zooming right now.
Anyway, that is this none of this has anything to do with our topic for today's episode.
It doesn't, but as usual, we went off. But this was all bookish things,
Was
and it was
bookish
exciting.
things.
These are things that we need to hear
Anyway.
about. This is one of the reasons we do this, to have these experiences.
Right. It was so fun. It was so fun. Anyway, so in something completely different that does not match up to Penny Reed or Lauren Blakely,
Not at
not at
all.
all. Savar Miller is in our realm.
Yes.
So for today's episode, we are diving into the topic that has sparked plenty of bookish debate. We are going to talk about what the difference is between gothic romance and dark romance. These two genres share some striking similarities: moody atmosphere, brooding heroes, stories that flirt with the edge of danger, but they are definitely not the same thing. So if you ever wondered whether your love for eerie castles and tormented love stories makes you a dark romance reader, or if dark romance is something you want to explore, you are in the right place. We're going to break down the key differences between these genres and how they overlap. We're going to talk about something super important, like a darkness scale within dark romance, because there are some dark romances that are kind of gray, and then some that are not even quite gray. They are like pitch black at midnight, no moon. So, because not all books that are labeled dark are actually dark, in my opinion. So this is episode will be a great episode to help you if you're thinking about trying dark romances, or if you love dark romance and want to hear us talk about dark romance, that'll be fun for you too. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's talk about the world of gothic and dark romance. We're going to do a term of the week because I'm going to give clear definition as to what these two things are. So, who wants to read gothic romance? Who wants to read the definition of gothic? Go for it.
Okay, so gothic romance is rooted in mystery, atmosphere, and the supernatural. Common tropes are isolated settings such as mansions or castles, a sense of doom, heroines in peril, tragic or tormented love. Examples are Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier.
Yes, Du Maurier, yes.
As I say it, like I know who it is, but looking at it's not the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. Actually, really anything by either of the Brontes.
They love a tortured heroine.
Well, they like a tortured hero too,
They
though.
do.
They just loved a tortured character.
They do. Lindsay, do you want to read what dark romance is?
Yeah, dark romance, defined by morally gray or outright toxic relationships, high angst and emotional intensity. Themes include dubious consent, manipulation, trauma healing, obsession, and power imbalances. Then it says no examples. There's so
Well,
many.
we're going to get to the. We have much more dark examples than we do gothic examples, but I actually do have some gothic examples for you, and some are actually current gothic examples. So we're going to get into all of those. But dark romance, I mean, we all know Chantal Tessier, Ammo Jones, H.D. Carleton, those are the type of authors that tend to write dark romance. One of the other things that I think it's really important, if you're picking up gothic or you're picking up dark romances, check content and trigger warnings. Preview a
Yes.
sample in Amazon. If you can't, especially if it's gone to trad pub, it might not have, or if it's a trad pub dark romance, it might not have the triggers listed in the book. So check the author's website. So if you even think that there's a hint that this is a dark romance, I would start checking websites, checking the content of books, because mental health is important, particularly right now, and we don't want anyone to be harmed from reading a book. Okay, so things that we expect out of these two genres that are the same. Okay? And that is psychological intrigue and emotional stakes. Both gothic and dark will have these things, right? So Gothic is going to appeal to those who love slow-burning mysteries and the eerie unknown. And then dark romance is going to attract readers that want those taboo themes, those edgy relationships.
I will say that Gothic oftentimes has a taboo element to it too, though, a lot
You
of
think?
times.
Okay. So then there also obviously there is overlap between these two genres. And don't you think it's like within the characters is the overlap versus the setting?
Well, yes, but sometimes the setting is what creates like the gothicness of it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. So for my Gothic romances, all of them are based on like the setting of the story and the vibes that it gives, because it gives like very specific, eerie, spooky vibes on top of. And I also like the ones that I found to be Gothic romances more than just like dark, I would also classify those more as like, for me and my recs, like light dark.
a lighter in the darkness.
Yeah, and then there's more of those overlap with paranormal elements.
And Gothic, I think, has more of those paranormal elements. I also feel so let's take Pen Pal by J.T. Geisinger, which is a very controversial book because the
It's
H
not a romance.
it's not a romance. The HEA, if anybody believes that it is, it's because they're dead together. Whatever. Don't believe in an afterlife, so I don't know.
It's not a romance. Like,
It's not a
there's
romance,
no
but it
happily
actually is
ever
a.
after. They're not like
But it's
riding
a.
into the sun together.
But with a contemporary setting, I would actually even say that even though, because of the morphed reality and that it ends in death, outside
It's a
of.
tragedy.
It's a tragedy, but it does have gothic themes.
But it's like Romeo and Juliet. That's not a romance story, but people say it's a romance story. It's a tragedy. They both die.
Well, I mean, The
Nailed
Notebook.
it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but they're old when they die. It's different. But I mean, it's not a romance there either because it's by a horrible human
Tragedy.
being. It's by a tragedy.
Tragedy.
Yeah, anyway.
It's a tragedy if you had to read it.
I mean,
The trauma.
let's not go there.
Anyway, Gothic romance. So key differences in the actual literary definition, a Gothic romance is going to often hit at supernatural elements, while dark romance leads into the psychological or emotional darkness of reality. Do we agree with this? Do we disagree with this? The YouTube chat probably has thoughts.
I mean, I feel like there's no, go ahead, Lindsay.
I agree. And I really am trying really hard to like wait, but like
Just
the
talk.
psychological element of a lot of like the recs that I have, like we have read some truly bonkers, crazy stuff. And like some of the authors that write this stuff, it's like deep psychological, like if you like a psychological thriller type thing where it's just like you want your world ripped off its axis, like some of these authors can achieve that. Like Skye Warren, like 100% Skye Warren. Like, I don't love a trilogy. I will read her books no matter what because, like, they're insane.
Well,
Like,
and I would even say she is old school dark too, because she's been writing these dark, twisted, emotionally depraved. Like, morally gray does not even define these heroes half the
and
time.
with her though, like she created these dark worlds that like people like other people write in, and they like I did do like Midnight Dynasties, like that whole world is like a mix of the both because it depends on the writer whether you get the gothic element or the dark element, but there are like even some more bonkers ones than skies in that world.
Well, and If I think about dark, like what drives me to read dark? And I'll never forget the very first dark romance I picked up was Buttons and Lace by Penelope Skye. And I don't know that anyone else in the community has read these books.
I actually have never read Penelope Skye,
I
which
don't
is
think.
surprising because I'm pretty much open to anything.
Well, a lot of times they're trilogies, and hers are absolute, have to be read in order, interconnected world. Nothing stands alone. Each couple, I think, is three books, but then couples appear in later books down the line. And her books, though, are bonkers. So the very first one, Buttons and Lace, the first three books are the first couple. And I've talked about it before. The heroine is sold into sex slavery by her then boyfriend to settle a financial debt. And she is sold at auction to this guy and is assaulted by this guy.
As one is in that
But
situation.
then is rescued by this other guy who is an international weapons, illegal arms trader guy, and he keeps her, and for every good deed she does, she earns a button, and that's currency. And when she has enough currency, she can achieve her freedom.
How does she earn the buttons with the good deeds?
Well, they're
What are
good
the good
deed.
deeds, Rebecca? You
Intercourse,
have to
Leah.
s Okay, thank
Intercourse.
you. I needed you to say it. Does she get like two
Coitus.
buttons for like the full thing, like one button per blowjob?
It
Is there like
all.
a scale of like the axe?
Not really, but if she
Does the
does,
size of
didn't.
the button make a difference?
I don't think so.
I'm really curious now. I may just have to read this soon.
If she doesn't comply, she loses buttons.
Oh, does she
That
lose? Is it like a 2-to-1 type thing? She only gets one but loses two?
kind of,
See,
yeah.
now I have all these questions.
Okay, I think we should read this, but I also feel
I
like
will read it.
if
I
consent
agree.
is important, these are
This is not the
not the
book for
books for
you.
you.
Okay, but let me just say, like, just with the stakes
Sorry, I
current,
just read Stacy's comment.
like, oh, I can't read the comments. I didn't log into YouTube, but
She says a different twist with the old school Walmart vests.
I was just gonna say, like, with the currency aspect, like, there's already more stakes in this story than most contemporary books on the shelves right now. So,
This
like,
is true.
oh.
Well, and she has, like, she's in the process of releasing a new trilogy that's in the world. And it's, but it's different couples. And the book, first book is called Butcher, The Butcher.
Oh, I keep seeing those and they look very intriguing. And let me tell you, I really like those covers, the
They're
way they did them, and
gorgeous.
they're in the grayscale.
Yeah.
Like they are gorgeous. I love the tones. Oh, I just love everything
These
about those
books, as I
covers.
read them, I had a moment where I'm like, I really am enjoying these books, and they're spicy. Like, they're spicy. But then there's also, and I don't know if anyone else feels this when they read like a dark romance like this. Like, do you question, is there something wrong with you that you are so in to this? And this book is like banana pants, but also like,
I think I question myself at least once a week
yeah.
whether there's something wrong with me after I've read a book. Like when I was in the Tradwife thing, like in that rabbit hole.
See, I can justify that one. And I can even justify, like, my
How
favorite
can
Hugh
you
Cow.
justify that when you like
My
don't feel like
favorite
you can
Hugh
justify
Cow, like,
this one?
and I was talking, you should have heard me. We were at dinner, we were sitting at the bar, and Melanie was obsessed with the Kool-Aid man and the fact that his business is a glass penis, and Vera Valentine sold a book box with a glass thing
Did
in
I
it.
tell you about my friend who had Kool-Aid socks? And then my other friend was like, I can never look at Kool-Aid the same again because she read the Kool-Aid Man shifter.
Well, and then we kept saying, oh, yeah. And like talking about it very loudly at the bar at the restaurant. And this
As one
girl,
does.
and the girl next to me, I was giving her like an instructional information on the door shifter. And she's like,
Oh, yeah.
oh, can I take a screenshot of your phone? So I was like, yeah, sure. And anyway, I say all of this because I have no problem with those. But then I read some of these, like these Penelope Sky books, and I think, oh, I really enjoyed this.
You really enjoyed the Kool-Aid Man and the like
But I don't
Hannah
have, and feel no
Oster.
shame. Like, I don't question
Right, but
myself that
I'm
I
just
enjoy
saying,
those.
like, if you don't question on those ones, I don't know what you're questioning it on the Penelope Sky ones because
Don't
it's just as bad, just in a different way. Do you
know.
agree, Lindsay, or are you just
I mean, I don't think.
letting us fight it
Don't,
out?
she's like ready to go start reading Penelope Sky. Like, she's done.
I mean, okay, first of all, like the cover of that new book she's got is just like, holy crap, it should come
It's
with a Surgeon
stunning.
General's warning for your heart. Because
Stunning.
it is,
I'm gonna
yeah,
find it.
it's beautiful. And he's all tatted up and shirtless. Anyway,
Anyway, Lindsay needs a moment. Let's take a moment.
no, but like, okay, like I don't ever wonder about that because I'm like, I mean, look at the world we live in. Like, you can go on Reddit and find spicier crap than in these books if you really wanted to.
True. I mean,
I'm just
true.
saying. And then, like, my thing with it is, like, while a lot of this stuff is like unhinged, off the charts, beautiful.
Now, granted, you have like my like phone screen sheen, but
Well, and for those listening
stunning.
to the podcast, take a moment right now, go over on Amazon, search the Carver, or is that the Butcher? Which one did you
This is
show?
the butcher.
The
Search the Butcher. That's book one in this new trilogy by Penelope Sky.
I do say I think I like book three's position the best, though. Just like the facial expression, the saint is book three.
So the
There's just
books,
something
it's the
about like the
Butcher, the Carver, and the
smirk.
Saint.
Yeah, but look at the
Wait.
smirk. There's
Ooh.
just something about that little.
I'm gonna need a moment. Excuse me.
But they are stunning. They have like they're in gray tones with like a blue overlay, and it's like they kept the eyes like the light blue. I love when they do that, where it's like all like very like gray scaled with dots of color.
I will tell
That's.
Penelope. She has a
Well.
quick she has a Kickstarter going on right now that I keep looking at her books, and I'm like,
Don't tell me that.
sorry, Lindsay.
It's just, there's just
Anyway.
some, it's just the three
No,
of
let's
these
go
covers
back.
together,
Wait,
too, are just
just to
really
go back to
stunning.
talking
Listen,
about
I'm not done with
what.
my thought. My thought is half baked. So, like, we read all this bonkers stuff, but I think the reason that we love these stories so much is because they are some of the best written books out there. Like, the
They are
story
very well written.
sucks you in and you cannot put it down. Like, they are airtight in terms of writing. There's n like
The majority of them.
barely majority
There are a few
very
I
few.
mean, the other
Disagree
ones
with
we
it on
just rage read
yeah
or don't
a lot
read.
but a lot of them are like really tight plots, really well thought out, extremely complex political circumstances around the story,
And I
and
think
deep
that's the thing.
trauma.
Like,
There's a deep
there's a
trauma.
complexity to them.
Yeah, and the characters are deeply traumatized, and I think that's relatable for most people in some capacity, but like seeing, like they're so layered, these stories. And I don't think anything is wrong. I think it's just like sometimes when you're stressed, it's really nice to just be like.
And we do tend to get a lot of mafia. I don't think that, I will not say all mafia is dark romance. Some mafia is dark romance. Like if you read a J.L. Beck with Monica Corwin, those tend to be dark. A Zoe Blake,
Like,
her books are dark.
but like a Michelle Heard is more of a gothic mafia.
Yeah, well, and it's gray. It's on that
Yeah.
gray scale of contemporary.
Like Jill Ramsauer's are more
Right.
gray,
And I
more
will agree with
gothic-ish.
Lindsay. I do think that
Yeah.
these dark romances, outside of some authors that get looped into there that I think write horrible books, I'm talking about you, H.D. Carlton. I will say,
Don't put that out in the universe.
yeah. Her and, well, I have some others.
Yeah, we know.
I think that these are some of the most well layered, complex stories We get the emotional stakes. We get the sexy time. We get these characters because in a dark and in a gothic romance, these characters have to be bigger, larger than life. You can't just have milquetoast on the page. Even if she's a damsel in distress, you know, even if she, if you think she's weak because she's going with whatever is happening, there's still an inner strength that she's there every day and that she doesn't just herself, you know?
It's very much like a shadow world.
It is. I would agree.
Like we live in this world and then it's like a shadow world within, and I think that is also kind of relatable.
Yeah. And I know that dark romance is not for everyone.
But okay, like you were talking about like the I find like the where I find like where I struggle, like when you go further on the dark spectrum, like on the extreme dark, I find that those books wind up being exceptional, like some of the best written books in the genre of romance as a whole. But then when you get into like the light romance section, like that is where you get a lot of authors just dipping their toes in to try the genre out, and they're not necessarily writing the same kind of story. Because like when you look at those, or like and like the light, and then I would also say like a lot of the gothic romances where it's just like expanding your marketability into a new genre, like trying something new to see if it sticks. Like that doesn't always work for authors, and their writing style
No.
doesn't work. And I think like that's not something they're considering. And I think that's where you get more of the like throw that book in the trash kind of stuff.
Well, and there are some authors that have pigeonholed themselves into dark, and their characters feel like they're the same in each and every book. Like they've said, okay, I'm a dark romance writer, but my characters could pretty much be photocopied from one book to the next. And I'm talking about, like, I find this with H.D. Carlton's books. I find this with Parker S. Huntington's books. I find this with Ammo Jones and Chantal Tessier. Like, their books, the heroes and the heroines all feel the same.
Yeah, it's the same book over and over again, just different
Even
scenarios.
Penelope Douglas, I think, she doesn't, she's found a formula in when she writes dark that works for her in those moments, but she's not really diving into any new territory, and nothing feels new and fresh. The characters feel the same as the previous books, which I know is going to upset a lot of people because there is a lot of love for those authors that I mentioned, but I'm
But
sorry.
it's, I mean, you get that in contemporary too. Like there are authors where you, if you read multiple books in a row, you can just interchange the hero and heroine name. And it's like you're reading the same book. Like it's the same, there's authors in every subgenre who it's the same issue. And it's one of those things where like you find what works and then you stick with it, but sometimes you need to adapt. Like that doesn't mean to say like you can't continue to write a dark romance, but like you have to change your characters.
I think that and those that I mentioned, HD, Penelope, Parker, Ammo, Chantel, even I would even say LJ Shin to an extent, not all of her
Yeah.
books, but when they start to write into that more bully part of dark, that's when they feel the same.
There's also a lot of dark romances that are marketed as dark that just don't read. I made a list of those that are like marketed as light. And I don't even think, like, to me, they didn't even read like a dark romance.
Well, like, okay, so let's talk about Kylie Kent because we are Kylie Kent fans.
Yes.
And her stuff is bonkers, but I would
Well,
not classify it as dark.
now I would say her, the one with Zach and Emmy, that is more dark. It's the duet. I can't think of the name off the top of it. Like he is the one that feeds people to the pigs. I can't think of what their book is. It's a duet. I would say that duet is definitely like darker than a lot of the other stuff that she writes, but he is kind of a psycho. So it works, but more often than not, she is not in that dark realm.
Over in the YouTube chat, Janellen brings up Neva Alta isn't dark romance to me. I would say she's not. She has some darker tones,
Yeah.
but I
She
just
has
think,
some darker
but
characters, but
she's
overall,
mafia. And I
yeah.
don't feel that her mafia and Michelle Hurd's mafia is on the same level. I will
That's
say,
why I would say they're more of the gothic categorization than the dark, because they have like some of those elements that work that way, but they're not steeped in that heavy.
so a name that came up a couple of times in some different lists and search that I went with, and I don't know whether or not to agree or disagree to this. And one of those
Okay.
names was Sarah Kate came up that praises dark. I don't feel like any of those are dark.
No, and
No,
those are
it
the ones on my list where I said like that's something categorized as a dark romance, but I didn't think
maybe
it
because
wasn't.
it's BDSM, they're saying it's dark,
That's
but
exactly
like
it. So I think they throw a lot of BDSM books into the dark romance category because I
when they
think
shouldn't be.
like some people would consider that dark, but it's really just like, I
It's a
mean,
lifestyle, like it's not a darkness.
yeah. And like I would categorize some of these like I feel like they don't fit in the dark genre. They fit elsewhere. Like Lexie Blake, I would consider like romantic suspense, and Delta James, like she has a very wide array, and like there's BDSM elements, but I feel like there's a tendency now, like when there's any kind of BDSM element in a book, it's automatically dark romance, and that is kink. That is not a dark
So,
element.
any book that explores any kind of kink in any kind of more intense form, so not like the cozy kink like we saw in the new Allie Hazelwood book, The Deep End, one that explores more lifestyle, you think is being categorized as dark incorrectly, that it's not, that it's contemporary, it's just dealing with those out of the mainstream lifestyles.
I think Stacey words it really well. She said she thinks it's a holdover. Let me say that again because I couldn't word the, make those words. It's a holdover from not really understanding it,
And I think it
which I
also,
agree.
I think like a lot of people's exposure to it came from like 50 Shades of Grey, and that's not a dark romance at
No.
all. Like that's really, I mean, that's
Well, I mean, if you
it's
look at it in the view of consent and the fact that she's isolated and controlled, that could fall into the lighter scale of dark.
But if it's anywhere, it's in like the light. Like,
Yeah, it's in
there's
the light, very
not.
light.
So the one that often I think of too is Pray Tell by Amanda Richardson. It deals with a really taboo kink of primal kink and the chase, the primal chase, but there's consent and there's pursuit and it's done in the light. There's nothing shady or
No.
gray about it. And so I feel like it is just contemporary.
Well, in that sense, because like that's primal kink, but like Zoe Blake's Cavallari Billionaires, like that's also primal kink, but those are dark because consent is very dubious. Like the acts, like everything around it is very dark. Like Pray Tell, like I have not read that just from what everybody says, though. I would categorize that more as gothic with the whole like party aspect that they have. Like they have these primal kink parties. Like that, like in itself gives that gothic element to it because it's
Now,
about a
the
place.
Alta Hensley book, Primal, that Amanda and I did a quick shot on, that is dark. While yes,
She
she
has a tendency to write dark, though.
right, and she it, because the heroine does consent in that book, but there's that secret society, there's the shadows, and like Lindsay said, it's that shadow world that, what are we doing on the edges kind of mentality. that kind of pushes it. One of the books that I was thinking about that is that the Sin City Mafia series by Lane Hart that we've read. I think that's dark.
I think that's dark too.
I mean, it's not the darkest of the books. It is not a Penelope Sky. It is not an Alta Hensley, but it's pretty
No,
dark.
but just a lot of the elements that she has in it, the situational like setup of it, the way in which the relationships start in a lot of it, like consent is there, but is it at the same time, especially like not so much in book one, but like in book two and book four, like consent is quite dubious in those ones. But yeah, I definitely would consider those ones dark because of
So
the way everything is played out.
I have two titles to ask about, and the first one is for Lindsay. Lindsay, Butcher and Blackbird. Would you consider that book by Bren Weaver dark?
No.
No, even though they're committing murder and working outside of the societal norms.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Okay, I'll get into this. Like Butcher and Blackbird, everyone, I know that's not a popular opinion, but Butcher and Blackbird, if you gave them other professions, that would be just a straight up rom-com.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like if they were not committing murder, would that be considered a dark romance? I'm sorry, but your profession isn't a good enough reason for me to consider it a dark romance. And I say that because, like, okay, like I was talking before about like the complexity of these stories. They deal with really sensitive topics. A lot of the hero, and what I like about them, I think, is that romance gives a love story for everyone. There's literally a love story for everyone. That point blank. Where dark romance comes into play is a lot of these characters are abused as children or have extraordinarily traumatic circumstances they come from. They have PTSD, they have sexual abuse traumas, they have, you know, there's a whole gamut of complexity. There's mental health issues. There's, you know, the Butcher and Blackbird didn't dive into any of that. The things that make a really good dark romance for me are the things that build that into the story. And like, there's motive there. There's motive leading these characters into the world that they live in, like into the society, the choices they're making. Because a lot of times, like, the dark romance element does come from their profession, but it's not just their profession. And like, where I struggled with Butcher and Blackbird is motive. Neither of those characters had a strong enough motive for me to be doing what they were doing. It was just like, it was very weak and flimsy and more like convenient. There was not a strong emotional connection to their purpose. And then they turned at the end of the day, like where that story took place, they were having a game. They were playing a game and they were doing it for good reasons. Like they weren't doing it because like they had any kind of like compulsion to commit a murder or whatever. Like Butcher and Blackbird was very much just like, we're doing this. It was more like we're doing this for a justice kind of thing, but
Like
even that
Dexter.
was
Well,
flimsy. So
and I feel that that book lacked complexity. The characters lacked a complexity. They lacked an understanding. Okay, so
strength,
this.
emotional strength as well. I'm sorry, but she cried every 5 seconds. And I was like, how can you commit a murder and then also cry literally every 5 minutes?
If you would like to know the rest of our thoughts on that, check out our quick shot. Leah, this book is for you because I believe that you just read this book and pulled quotes on it.
What book?
Oh,
And
Slash or
this.
Pass.
Well, no, I didn't do
You
that
didn't.
one. I did book two. Slasher Pass is book one.
By Tyler Page.
Those are dark. I would
These
say those
are
are dark.
horror romances.
They're horror romances. They are bonkers. The one I read, it's book two of the series. I can't not think of the name of the book at the moment, but it's like The Shining mixed with Saw, mixed with something else. Like there's murder, there are ghosts. There's sex with a Michael Myers. Like, I mean, the dude's wearing the Michael Myers like mask, but like there's sex, and like when he has the mask on, he can't talk, but when he has it off, he hears all the ghosts in his head. It is bananas, and honestly, everybody should read that series because it is really well done, and there's a lot of like psychological chaos happening, but there's no plot holes, there's no issues with these books. And I was pulling quotes for Tyler, and so yes, I was getting paid to read this book, but honestly, and it's not a book that I would have picked up on my own because it's not something that calls to me, but I am intrigued by this series. But it is dark, it is heavy, there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of chaos. Yeah, those are dark.
Those are
But
dark.
delightful. It was one of those things where, as I was reading, I was like, this is so freaking bonkers. But even if I wasn't getting paid to read it, I would not be putting it down.
Love that for you. I read Slasher Pass, and I have not read anything like it. And if you are a fan of Butcher and Blackbird, but you felt like Butcher and Blackbird was missing something, it's over there in Slasher Pass. Go check out that book.
Yeah, and it's like I said, they're really well done. Like it was one of those books where I almost was waiting for something bad to show up in the book, or I not to be fulfilled. But I was it was so good.
Okay, so I want to finish
Slay
these.
Less was the one that I
Slay Less
read.
is the one you
Slay
did.
Less.
So I want to talk about a couple other things, then we'll get back to book recs, because I don't want to miss out on some things. Stacy brought up in the YouTube chat that there do we need an official grouping for dark romances, dark adjacent. So those that sit in that gray between contemporary and dark. And I do. I think that as readers, as literary professionals, we do need to kind of help feel that gap. I also think that that space, that gray matter, like a moat around a castle, helps those readers kind of dip their toes into dark without going full in, right? Because like the first time I picked up The Hitman by C. Hallman, or was that one by Adelaide Forrest? And
No,
like,
Adelaide's was a different one. I think the Hitman might have been C.
C. Hallman.
Hallman.
And we dived into that and found out that like it was super Sleeping Beauty kink. And we were both like, what did we just read? So we need some kind of gray moat genre specifier for those that are kind of like Pray Tell, but aren't that don't fit either side. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I would say, there's a lot of, and I've been saying this, but there's a lot of authors that have dark elements, but they're not like the story itself isn't dark. Like Katie Robert, I would argue a lot of her books, the heroes are more of a cinnamon roll. The ones that I've read like five or six of her books. The heroes are more of a cinnamon roll to me. The story itself is dark. Like the circumstances are dark, but I would not classify any of those as dark. It would be like more like dark adjacent.
Okay. Well, let me give you these and see what you think, okay? 'Cause I kind of came up with a scale. Okay? So, light dark romance. It would have dubious consent, emotional manipulation, but the clear romance story. Medium dark, trauma-based relationship, criminal elements. Extreme dark, non-consent, heavy violence, deeply flawed love. Like, why are these readers together? Or why are these
Day,
characters
everything
together?
she has written.
Who? What did you say?
Bella J,
Yes, Bella
everything she's
J.
written.
Extreme dark, Bella J. And then we, so I have those. Like, light would have the dubious consent, emotional manipulation. Maybe even a circumstance, like a kidnapping that caused them to be together. Then you have the medium dark where you're talking, the trauma bonding, the criminal elements, and then the extreme dark, which is like Bella J, Santana Knox, Monty J. I would say those, although Monty J kind of falls more into the gothic, but she has some, I guess,
But she has some of the horror
she does. C.R.
types
Jane,
too.
I would say, is probably maybe the that
Well,
medium
and
dark.
excuse me, Marie James, she has a whole plethora of things because she has her contemporaries in her Lindells, and like she has a romantic suspense with Blackbridge, and then her Cerberus MC, they're dark-ish, but like they have really dark moments, but they're not super dark. But then she has that Mission Mercenary series, which are bananas. Like there's kidnapping, there's a lack of consent. Like you don't even know like how these couples are actually together and whether or not they like each other. Like, I mean, by the end of the book, it makes sense, but it's a lot of Stockholm Syndrome style types of things. And it's like, I'm not so sure about this one, but those ones are dark, but everything else she has is like dark elements aside from the Lindell ones. But yeah,
I would
but they're
say,
bonkers.
would you? So Sarah Simone, I think, is one of those that would fit into that gray area that we don't know what to call their books. Because she's not really dark, but she is not contemporary.
I'd say she's has elements of dark.
But she's taboo, but is she really
But
dark?
taboo
Because
is
she definitely has
separate.
consent in her books.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, she has elements of dark, but like, I feel like taboo needs to be its own subset in
Yeah.
itself where it
So is that the
isn't.
gray area, or is taboo its own other
I think it
subgenre?
should be its own other subgenre because there's so much taboo.
Yeah, and I would think of it too as like if like not how TikTok or BookTok or whatever tags tropes, but like if you were tagging a trope on a book, like would you tag taboo? Like I think with how many books have taboo elements or do lean taboo, I do agree that it's like its own subgenre. And I think that's one of the areas where like you can cross.
Yeah, there's some
Well, and
overlap
even
there.
Stacey said, and Bonnie says it's in its own thing, but Stacey does say that she think there's overlap. And there, I tend to agree. Like with the taboo, like oftentimes you do overlap because of like the relationship in itself. Cause like the Skywarn, like the pawn, like that's fairly taboo.
It's bonkers. It
But
is
it's also very dark. Like just, I mean, just the
bananas.
whole. Well, it is bananas too. It's delightful, but it's
Bananas.
bananas. But that, like those three books, like there's a lot of taboo elements in it, but it's a dark romance. So, like, there is that overlap there. But, like, QB Tyler, she writes a taboo book, but they're not dark. They're more
No,
contemporary.
because her taboo is the age gap.
Well,
And
and sometimes
sometimes,
there's
like
other
the
things
stepdad,
to it,
stepdaughter,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, they're
that's
taboo, but they're not a dark
taboo.
romance.
And with how many of those taboo themes have taken off in just standard contemporary? Like, how many
For
contemporary
sure.
books are we reading now where it's like the girl is falling in love with her ex-boyfriend's father? Like there's so many out there. Like that is almost a standard
I mean, it's a trope in itself
trope
at this point,
now.
ex's
Yeah, it
dad. Like,
is.
yeah,
Yeah,
ex's
ex's dad
trope.
is a, it's really taken off, or like there's age gaps in general have really taken off and have been a thing for a long time. But I would say like where you get more of like the dark overlap would be more like arranged marriage. I think it could be contemporary and a dark romance at the same time in the arranged marriage, depending on like the elements. I don't have an example that I would argue
Well,
that
and
way,
it de but I feel
but
like with the arranged marriage, there's a lot of like the dark elements because there's usually some sort of secrecy that goes along with it. Because like Victoria Page, like her Scorned Love series, I can't think if that's the name of the series title or not, but there's like an obsessive element to all of those books. And like the one book, it's an arranged marriage, but she finds out the like there's some stuff that like she finds out after the fact. Like I wouldn't necessarily say those ones are dark, but like they have some darker elements to it because of like the situations surrounding the marriages.
I agree. Okay, so two more things and then I will let you guys do whatever other book we need to talk about because I have a list of Gothic. I think it will spark some conversation. Okay, so check content warnings again. I cannot recommend this enough if you're going to deep dive into any of these titles or anything that is in this subgenre. Please check your content warning, especially right now, mental health matters. Also, just so we all know, those funny farms that certain people want to start, the mental health farms, they're going to be at my house. So be prepared. Bring your crazy. We'll be here. Next, dark romance is not for everyone. It is okay. I do believe with this. Dark romance is meant to push boundaries, but readers should feel comfortable with what they're consuming. So, like Jenny, I am not going to give her a Penelope Sky book. No matter
Good God, we might traumatize her.
no matter how much I think a character is really good and really relatable, it is not worth Jenny's mental health to do
But
that.
even a lot of gothic are not Jenny's cup of tea either.
I disagree with that
Well, because
because,
she does really like the Pray Tell ones,
well, let me
Demons of
talk about
Richardson ones.
gothic, because I have some titles for you that might shock you as actually being gothic.
I bet you don't shock me.
Grimstone by Sophie Lark.
I would call that gothic.
It is
I would
gothic.
agree. That was on. Wait, what?
Grimstone by Sophie Lark.
You would agree, right?
Yeah, it's, you said it's not.
No, it is. It is
No, it
gothic.
Oh, I was like, what? I was like,
I think she's trying to shock us, but I don't think she will.
no, I don't think so. That's on my list as one that I argued. I would say it's gothic, but definitely not dark. And I did not like this one.
No,
No offense.
same. Hollow, which is titled A Gothic Shade of Romance by Corina Hale,
Allie.
Hallie is how you say it.
I hadn't read that one, but I would definitely say Karina's books, like the darker ones, are always gothic, not dark.
She
I
also
read.
has one called The Dracula Duet. Book one is called Blood Orange. Have you read that, Lindsay?
Wait, can we
Because.
go back to Hollow? Because isn't that the one where I think I read it at Halloween
Yes.
or started reading it, and it's a thruple where she it's set in Sleepy Hollow. It is very much
Yes.
a gothic book to me. But
Sleepy
I really
Hollow,
enjoy Corinne books. Yeah. And
that is the perfect kind of
like gothic setting.
gothic setting,
Yeah.
Sleepy
And
Hollow.
it was like I Halloween read. We should do a read along for this year for Halloween.
We can put it in our
Oh, that's a
October
good
list.
idea.
It's
We
Ichabod Crane and
let me
Hood
write it
Your
down.
Guy. It's but yeah, it's anyway, the Headless Horseman is her other love.
Okay, well, Dracula. She has a Dracula duet. Book one's called Blood Orange. I read the sample, the first two chapters, because I was like, is this gothic? Yeah, it is. And it's a little bonkers, people. So there's that. The Coven by Harper L. Woods.
I didn't read that. I don't
That is
read that either.
gothic. But if you want dark, then you need to read her stuff as Adelaide Forrest,
Oh yeah,
because
those are dark.
those are dark.
But
Monarch.
also, if consent is important, don't read those.
Right, because he's just going to show up in bed, even though you locked the door. Monarch by Sophie Lark, which is book two in the Grimstone series. Heartless Heathens by Santana Knox. And Her Soul to Take, the Souls trilogy by Harley LaRoe. Those are gothic. They are not dark.
That doesn't surprise me.
And then,
Just saying.
okay, so here's one that I'm curious what you think. Until I Get You by Claire Contreras.
I had it in my gothic list.
You had it in gothic. I have it in dark.
I don't think it's quite dark because.
But I think it fits into that dubious consent, emotional manipulation, but they clearly are in love.
But there's not really dubious consent.
She consented to be stalked, and he doesn't like blackmail her into leaving her job and going back with him to pretend to
I
be
mean,
married.
he. Well, yeah, but I don't think I would consider that one dark because a lot of it is situational. Also,
He's psycho.
he's a psychopath. I had that in my gothic list, but I mean, I could see why it could be categorized as dark.
Okay, Lindsay, what
Lindsay, do
books do you have that are banana pants?
Oh, I didn't do the banana pants yet, but like the gothic romance, I also had like I ironically like the JL Vampa Sol Sister Solstice series I read last fall. That is like spooky, really nice gothic vibes. It's a little bit paranormal, extraordinarily slow burn. Hardly like I don't even think there was There was like one sex scene. It was barely romance. But I really enjoyed it. I was sucked in. I read the whole series, which like that should tell you everything. And then like Alona Andrews, the Innkeeper series, I read that earlier this year. Top-notch spooky vibes, like very fun. And not just spooky, but like I also think of like gothic vibes as like spooky vibes and like
No, for sure.
so I just want to like caveat, like just because I'm calling it spooky, it is definitely like something I'd say is gothic.
I will say, and this is an old school name that probably won't mean much to anybody else, but Phyllis Whitney books, those are gothic. But they are bonkers. They are the bonkers banana pants of the gothic realm. Like,
Do you like bonkers?
there, well, some of those are some of the first books I read in the 90s, and they are, yeah, they would not get published today. They
They
would,
might, you never know. There's some crazy stuff that gets published.
trust and believe. Like,
But the scope of my reading.
okay, Lights Out by Nevessa Allen. Would you consider that dark? I think it
I
falls
didn't
almost
read
to
that
that gray
one.
side.
Okay, like I'm just gonna gloves off, DNF'd it.
DNF'd it. Okay. I liked it.
That's
Why did you
fair.
DNF it?
I don't know, probably because of mood. I'm a very much a mood reader. If I'm not in the mood for it, I'm like, goodbye, book.
Okay, that's
I
fair.
haven't read that one by her, but I've read other stuff, and I can say like she has like dark elements, but I wouldn't necessarily consider her a
Her
dark
dark.
author. Yeah.
Okay. Any other books? And Bonnie
Bonnie
didn't
says it was light gray.
light gray. I don't disagree with her, because he's a good kitty daddy. If
Sheridan Ann has a book called Haunted Love. It's definitely more of a gothic feel to it. There is a BDSM element. There is some like I mean, you could argue that it is more dark, but I would consider it gothic with like the setting of like the sex club and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a really good book though. I really enjoyed it.
Any other books or topics or books that we need to talk about and comment on whether or not they're dark or light or gothic that are on your list or authors that we didn't mention? P.M. Godwin, I would think, is dark.
I think it depends on the book. So,
Yeah.
like, I
Because.
think people have a tendency to categorize her as dark, but not all of it is
Not
dark.
all of it is dark.
No. Well, and like that, so Piper Rain, they have like those more mafia
The
ones, the P
mafia
Rain
school that
ones,
are
but
nude.
like they have the Ritual Room series, but it's all the they're dark retellings, but I would definitely categorize them as gothic, not dark. Like they have dark elements, but like the setting of like the mansion and things like that with the like ritual room part of it, like those create the series itself. Like, yeah. I mean, it has dark elements, but I would not consider that a
And those
dark.
ML Philpott books, I think those are one of those that slides into that gray.
Yeah.
They're mafia. There are some on the shadows outskirts, some questionable things, but I don't think they're dark.
Well, and Sarah Bale, like her villainous world.
See, I thought about that with the secret society and
Well, but the
hey.
Secret Society ones, like, but then she has like her villainous tales world
Oh, those are
too.
dark.
And so like she kind of like the God, the Vengeful God series, that's not the series name, but everybody knows
Primal
which ones I'm talking
Gods,
about. Those are more, yeah.
right?
No, Primal God is one of the books.
Oh.
But those are like darker, but gray, but her villainous tales are definitely dark.
But the villainous tales really deep dive into the kink.
They do, but they also like there's a lack of consent in a lot of things in those things,
That's
not
true.
just like somebody said, I think it was Jen Allen who said, like, with dark, like there's a lack of consent in a lot of everything. And in those ones, like there's a lack of consent in like a lot of the relationship elements, as well as the sexual
And the
elements
criminal element. So that puts them
and the
in the
criminal
medium dark.
elements.
They're in the medium
Yeah,
dark.
but yeah, those are
I did have that.
like a pewter, not a pewter, but like a gunmetal gray.
Gunmetal
Yeah,
gray.
I have them as a light dark.
Okay. Any other titles we need to talk about?
I have Jacinda and Jack's Club Sin on my list.
So do you go gothic on those? 'Cause
I was thinking
or
more
are they light
gothic.
dark romance because it's the emotional manipulation?
Well, there's a lot of manipulation in those books, and like there's like a lot of like secretiveness. So it's like one of those ones where like I wasn't sure where to categorize it, but I know it belongs on there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Like it has those gothic elements and this like the secretiveness of like the like them working together, but then it has the dark elements because there's a lack of openness at the same time.
Lindsay, what else is on your list?
I put Brynn Asher and Layla Frost as like light dark
Well,
because,
the duet.
yeah, the Dylan sisters. I would say like they're very much like dark adjacent typically, but some of their elements definitely fall within like the psychological turmoil
Oh
aspect.
yeah, especially Brynn's book.
Yeah, so I put both of them on there just because that had Sarah Beale on there too. I had Amanda Richardson. I did flag Sarah. I really like how we landed on all of this so similarly because I had flagged like Sarah Kate as like not dark, but like Amanda Richardson. I was like, it could go kind of either way.
Yeah.
And then like really just have like Savar Miller, The Monsters and Muses. There's a lot of dubious consent. There's a lot of trauma in those books. Like there's the psychological elements with the heroes, but they're not like none of this is like if
So I think that
you
those, oh, don't you think those are probably the light dark? Because I was thinking about the Emily Henry or the Emily McIntyre books, not Emily Henry, wrong Emily. I was thinking about Emily McIntyre, and she comes up constantly on the dark books. And her books are angsty, and some of her consent is dubious. And Amanda was supposed to be here, but she's got a stomach issue, bug. And
A
so,
stomach bug,
yeah.
yes.
And so she wasn't able to make it. And I know she would have a very big thoughts on Emily. And I think that sometimes I know that those books have emotional manipulation and some of the consent kind of like salves. They're a little bit dubious. But I sometimes think that, especially if you're newer to this genre, you take things like angst, and if it's a highly angsty book with lots of back and forth and a lot of emotional work, it automatically gets placed in a dark, and it doesn't belong there
Well, and I
necessarily.
think it's one of those things where people aren't sure where to categorize, so they take one thing and run with it.
Yeah, that's probable. And
Well,
it's
I
like
think
if
part of
you're.
the problem is with contemporary. Like contemporary becomes so vanilla for like what the popular book talk books are. It's like so surface level emotional. Like they're very, very like
Flat.
not complicated stories. I don't mean that to be a mean way, but they're very much like
It's vibes over stakes. We've talked about this.
yeah, and it's like they're just very easy to consume, but they're not like the stories aren't as gripping. And I think like when there are more emotional elements to a story, when it is like heavier and more gripping, like I think people are having a hard time categorizing just because of like how hard and fast the contemporary romance genre switched from stakes to no stakes at
So
all.
I
Like,
think of a lot of the current popular contemporary romances are like Wonder Bread. They serve a purpose, but they don't hold the value that, say, like a multigrain or, Roman meal bread. Like Roman meal bread is kind of that gray bread. It has some nutritional value, but not a ton. And then there's, the multigrain, and that's like the dark. It gives us all those things that we want that we're lacking in the Wonder Bread.
and I would just say, like, if you want to really understand what I'm talking about, like, go read an Elsie Silver series or like a Debney Perry series or something like that, and then go read Walker Rose.
Yeah, they're not the same.
But they're very much like the vibes are the same in the story, but they're not the same story at all. And
No, Walker has much more
there's more angst, there's a lot more
stakes.
depth, and like that's not common anymore. And like Carla Sorensen's another one. Like her stories have a lot of emotional depth. They're very much contemporary, but they're not necessarily the same mold of what the other authors are doing now. Majority of the authors are doing. And I think that's where like so much is getting pushed into dark romance. And it's like, man, this barely even constitutes a trigger warning. Like,
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that's fair.
I don't know.
And Bonnie says it in the chat, a lot of contemporary doesn't make you think. And we like to think. We're thinkers. Okay. So that's our take, very briefly take, because I think this is one of those that we could have done like 2 hour long episode. But production might fire us if we did that.
He would not fire
He
us.
has bedtime.
Where do you keep a bottle of bourbon?
Buy him a bottle of bourbon. He'll be fine.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. So we haven't done this in a while because we skipped the Super Bowl weekend and then
We
we had
did.
authors last weekend, so we didn't do it. So it is now
It's
time.
that time
It is time for
for book
Book of
of
the
the
Week. It is Book of the Week time.
the week time.
Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
Okay, I'll first by say this, like I have not been reading very much at all this year. It's
It's okay.
been a lot. So one of the books that I did actually read, I read The Hermit by Michelle Hurd. I've been wanting to read her. I'd never read her before. I read this story. I love the concept. So like Grace is the female main character. She has her, I think her husband died. Anyway, like her
Yes, he died.
husband is gone, and she is now in a situation where her sister is supposed to be entering into arranged marriage, and she's like, no, I'll do it instead. She winds up marrying Dominic. Their love story is real. It's very organic for an arranged marriage situation. Like their love story, their attraction, like the way it's written. Also the cover is beautiful, like both versions of it. And I was really shocked. I'm gonna wind up reading all of her books. I really
They're
loved
great.
it.
We're
You won't
fans.
like some are not as good as others, but you will not be disappointed going into her backlist. Like she is one of those authors where every once in a while, like you'll come across one, you're like, oh, that one was just meh. But the stories are tight, the writing is like very
And they
well done.
do
Her
stand alone.
characters,
You can
chemistry.
skip a book. If
Yes.
a
And you
couple
can
isn't
jump
speaking to you,
around.
read the next book.
It wasn't like I didn't feel like it was crazy spicy, but like the chemistry that she set up between the main characters was really.
I don't think any of her books are over the top spicy. I think they're just really well written stories, and the sex scenes make sense in those moments.
And
And
Jen Ellen's right, like they're not super long, so it's like you can read it and enjoy it, and then you're not dragging through a book. And I
Leah.
have been telling you forever to read
I
her.
know. I knew you were gonna say that, but I did, and I won't sleep on these books anymore when you recommend them.
I'm just saying.
But that probably.
Forever.
Forever. 5 years, but it's fine. Leah, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so I've been reading a lot for the podcast, for author spotlights that are coming up. But this one, Scorned Obsession by Victoria Page. It's her new one in this, like her Scorned Love series. It is Sandro and Bianca's story. It's really good. So there, it's a age gap. She has decided at 12 years old she's gonna marry him. Like the whole family, like there's like lore in the family where they become very obsessive. And she becomes obsessed. He becomes obsessed with her. There's some slight stalking on both sides, but then he fucks up bad and she like pieces out for a while. And then he does something even worse. And then obsession kind of dies for her, not for him. And there, it's a forced marriage. It's really good and it's a little chaotic, but delightful. And I have an author spotlight coming, so I'm excited to read all the answers to the questions from Victoria and to share them with everybody. So.
Okay, so my book of the week is one of my most anticipated reads of 2025.
Ooh, which one did you read?
Finding Home by Lauren Rowe.
Oh, yeah.
So I, if you know, you spent any time on this podcast, you know that I'm obsessed with Lauren Rowe's Rockstar World. I love Reed Rivers. He's the biggest jerk in the world, but I love him. And I love the Morgan siblings. And Seabomb has been a villain in books since Rockstar. So he was a villain in Rockstar. He was a villain in Reed's trilogy. He was a villain in the duet that came after. And he kind of started to show some redemption in Smitten and Swoon. And we have been waiting for this book, which feels like forever, but really it's been like a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
That's a really long time to
It
wait.
is really, but I understand she took a year off writing from an injury because of an injury, and then she wrote some other things. And anyway,
Mean, it happens. It happens.
this book, it's a long book. It's a beefy boy. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. It's
Do you
complicated.
think,
It's
here's a question though.
messy.
Do you think, had the book been shorter, it would have been like,
There are a couple
as
things
well
that
done.
there's a couple things in the end that drag out that he didn't really need, but I get it. There's some resolution that happens, but I'm, you know, you could have given me three throwaway lines and I've been fine. My only complaint in this book, this is my only complaint, and I do have a review up over on the website, is the audiobook is duet narration, which is not my favorite, but Andy Arndt was casted as a 24-year-old heroine. She doesn't sound 24. However, our hero is voiced by Sean Masters, who is, you know, Sebastian York Jr.
Delightful.
He is like the tiny little unicorn that I love so much.
I really enjoy anything that John Masters does.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
I think your book rec. Okay, I know we're at the end, but I just think your book rec like highlighted a potential like area where we didn't consider for dark romance, which is like rock stars really overlap nicely with like the gothic and the dark, and we didn't even talk about
We
this.
didn't, but
Well,
no worries. Our
rock stars are coming.
rock stars are coming in April, so don't you worry. There will be plenty of opportunity to deep dive into that messy world of rock stars. So, you know, because this year our theme is we're going to do whatever the heck we want to do, and nobody can tell us what to do anymore.
We give zero fucks.
Zero, zero fucks to give. Anyway, Patreon update. Quick note, I am starting to mail out the I am behind years of membership stickers. They are slowly starting to go out in the mail. So give me, you know, a couple more weeks, and if you don't get one, message me and let me know. Because we've had I missed anniversaries from pretty much June until now. So if you had a year's joining, like I've been a member for 3 years or I've been a member for 4 years and I never got a sticker, they're coming. I'm on it. Also, swag packs for February were sponsored by author Annie Carlisle. And there's a little something extra in there from Melanie. And those swag packs will go out in 2 weeks. So you'll get February and March's goodies all together in one mailing. Make sure you are back here Wednesday night for our discussion of Unexpected Rush by J.C. Burton. That will be our last football romance for a minute. And I have thoughts, so we'll dive into those on Wednesday. For a list of books we talked about on this episode, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Hopefully this breakdown helped clear up the differences between gothic romance and dark romance, or maybe not. Maybe we just confused you. And hopefully we did give you some new books to add to your TBR, whether you're drawn to the eerie, the slow burn, the tension of gothic romance, or the intense boundary-pushing stories of dark romance. There's a place for both in the romance genre. Before you go, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you have a favorite gothic or dark romance book? Have you read a book that pushes your boundaries from your comfort zone? Let's keep this conversation going and find us over on Instagram at buzzingaboutromance.com or in our Buzzing About Romance Discord. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your bookish friends. It really helps us bring you all the romance, love, you know, that we like to talk about. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks, guys, for doing this episode with me.
It's always a good time.
Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.